What is up, everybody? Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And are you all ready to talk about the one pirate show in the universe that you don't hear pirates go "R," but they do a lot of gum, a lot of chop, and a bunch of other awesome stuff, because we are giving our final take here on the Amateur Otaku of the first season of Netflix's One Piece. We're going to talk bad.
Because they prefer the seas.
First pun, check. So,
it took me a minute.
We are talking the good, the bad, and the buggy of the first season of One Piece. No holds bar. The gloves are off. We're talking about everything that was happened that I covered in this 8-episode season. And if you stick around, after a brief intermission, we're going to jump in and talk about season 2 and how it was confirmed officially that season 2 of Netflix's One Piece is on its way. So it's a big show, big live stream. If you want to have your questions or comments picked up and shared with the world, join us in the chat and we'll give you a shout out. We got the great crew here. We have Joel. We got Jamie, and we got Sanji Pun, Isaac Wolf. What's up, man?
It should be interesting to see what this is cooking.
Hey, Mike, giving props. Appreciate you, Mike. Thank you for joining us in the chat. We got a lot to talk about, guys. A lot to talk about. I made it a point to say from the very beginning, if you have not seen the live action adaptation of One Piece, you shouldn't be here. You should be like somewhere else, apart from the shame that should destroy you. Exactly. You suck. Yes. You shouldn't be here. But if you've seen it, if you have thoughts, we want to hear every single, all of them. And I want to start with our guest, Joel. So, Joel, I don't know if you've seen it multiple times. I don't know if you've seen it just once. I don't know what your relationship with One Piece is. I know that you were one of the premier guests on the last discussion that they had up to episode 5. So what is your final take after watching One Piece on Netflix?
I mean, well, I am a avid fan of One Piece, the anime. I never read the manga, unfortunately. But I've watched, I'm very far into the anime. I'm in the 800s. I'm like in the middle of Whole Cake Island. So nice. I'm in there. I plan on.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
And I've been a fan a very long time, actually when I was in high school. So it was a long time ago for me. So it was a while back. And I loved it then. And I reconvened with it only a little bit after that to actually start from the beginning, and because I watched it sparingly, and it was a dub, and it was like the 4Kids dub, and you know how those were. So, yeah. And from there on, I've been watching it in Japanese, and so my whole experience, I've been fantasizing about a live action One Piece for me, because I know a lot of people don't like a live action adaptation, but for me, it's been in my mind for a long time. And even though I always knew it was like very hard to pull off, because this anime is not exactly what you would call an easy to adapt anime, unlike a Cowboy Bebop
or like
a
ripe
adaptation, or Rurouni Kenshin, which is like to me easier to adapt than, let's say, One Piece, which is ridiculous in so many different ways. But I still always believed it was possible, because it always felt like to me it was like an anime version of like almost like an RPG. You grab your party members throughout, and everyone has a role, and it's like I love that aspect of it. I love it in when the RPGs, and I love it in this anime. So, the live action, I was cautiously optimistic going in, very excited. I didn't know who the hell anybody was when they first got casted. I was excited for them, but I didn't know who they were. Maybe I remember him or him from somewhere else, but it was very much brand new faces to add, just that you can just mold them into their characters. And I think that was probably my favorite part, is that this show adapted the anime better than any other live action adaptation, in my opinion, when it comes to anime, because it's like they got every the little details right, and that's very, very important when adapting anything, and they went out of their way to do that, and I appreciate that. Every little thing really does matter, because you need to keep the spirit of the character, and I thought they did a good job with that. And like when his hair, everybody's hair color was right. That's almost everybody, basically. And that's important to me. I love that. I didn't mind.
I love how the hair color sealed the deal.
It did. I mean, but it's because you don't see that.
That's
a lot.
Amazing.
It's just little things like that that went a long way. Or the snails, what are they called? The ten mushis or whatever.
The transponder snails. Yes.
And look, CGI was not bad in my opinion. A lot of the CGI was pretty good for a TV show. Could have been a bit longer. I would wish it was a little bit longer. But they gave us 8. I'll take 8. I wish it could have been maybe 10. And probably would have fleshed it out just a little bit more. There were some cuts because of it, and I understand that, and I'll live with it. But overall, I thought the first season was a major success.
Agreed. Jamie.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I agree with Joel. This show has been, I guess, just in terms of what I was expecting, it like completely blew it out of the water. Like, you know, with Netflix's history with anime adaptations, it hasn't been so great. So to see like the trailers and like some of the behind the scenes where they're talking about actually building out these sets, and just like the commitment that they have for the show and bringing Oda along for the ride is also incredible. I just like couldn't be. They kind of creep me out a little bit, but they're accurate. They're accurate.
Yes. Eyeballs. Why do they have eyeballs? I love it.
Hey, that's how it is, bro.
I know.
That's how I look. You know what? Damn, we'll bring up the snails again later on. I just thought about something. But yeah, I love what they did with this. I think when we had mentioned, or when we were talking about this before the show actually came out, we were saying that Oda kind of has the advantage here now that he's written so much of One Piece. Going back to the beginning, he can like do some things better in terms of story. Mm-hmm. If he felt like something was a little bit weaker than it should have been, or like implement more little Easter eggs now that he might have things like planned a little bit more far ahead. And you can definitely see that, like even with, like I think Brandon was talking about, like, you know, when Shanks goes up against like the big fish or whatever, and it's like they do a much stronger hint towards whatever power. I haven't got to the point, so I have no idea what it is. But
they confirm,
you know,
it's Supreme King Haki what he did.
Right.
That's like going out of your way.
Yeah. All the so way in the beginning to like get show that.
Yes.
You're like,
oh
yeah.
Yes.
It's little things like that really make me happy that Netflix has, you know, finally done it, and they're getting the success they're getting and the praise that they deserve. So hopefully, you know, they continue to do that. They continue on this good streak. But yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to season 2.
Yeah. Isaac Wolf.
Yes.
I don't know if you've been here, but you know, we're talking about our general thoughts of the season.
Sorry, it was something that I had to take care of while for a second, so I lost my train of thought. But well,
that's a big train.
Yes, it's always a long train, but I digress. My history with One Piece is that I have been, well, pretty much when I was younger, it was a sort of like a on-off, because, well, I knew it would take a while to follow it, and I were mostly anime back in the day, but then when I started reading manga, it was more, and that's when I started to really kick off with One Piece, and it was back in the good old days when I was a lot younger, but And
wee little child.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and now I'm just following this show almost religiously to some extent, and I'm starting to fix. So I finally have a complete show on manga volumes again that I need to recollect. And Lord, it will take a lot of bookshelf to make that work.
Oh, yeah. You gotta get the big books so that shrink the size of it a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know, know if you guys knew it, but it actually was made a volume where you had every single One Piece volume in a single book, and I'm just
they're really long.
But why?
There's gonna be that one fan. That's going to be like,
I'm going to get it.
How do you read that, though?
Yeah, exactly.
You have to lay it down on the floor.
I don't know why, but the only way that works is that you consider it never-ending toilet paper. Like, every time you go to the bathroom, you rip a page.
Oh, no.
You read it front to back. You do what you need to do, and then you move on. Because I don't think there's any other feasible way of reading that.
The size of that thing, if my memory serves me correctly, it was like 10 or 15 Stephen King books, and that says something.
Now, do your live-action adaptation. Did you like it? Did you love it?
I loved it. I was one of those loved that it. Were extremely skeptical about it, especially going to... When I heard it was Netflix was doing it, and it didn't help when I heard that Tomorrow Studios was going to do this, the same production company that did Cowboy Bebop, and we all know that end result of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I saw of this, the trailers, the photographs, everything, and I just, maybe there is something to this, and we watched it, and just, this is insanely well made. Yep. And like you all said, it has the spirit of the shows, but it's even if it's not as insane as the manga or anime, I mean, if you were as insane as the manga and anime, it was just, how should I put it? Imagine the Three Stooges on extreme steroids, maybe? I don't know. it shall be interesting how they, you all mentioned, stuff like the whole cake arc is going to be interesting in case they come that far.
Yeah, a long way to go, hopefully. Figure it out by then.
I mean, they said that they have, they want to do at least 12 seasons. So.
If we're blessed, we'll get there.
Yeah.
So let's save a little bit for the season 2 talk. And
yeah.
Bruin Movies says hi. Welcome to the show, my friend.
What's going on?
So I love this. Like, I had a chance to see it early. Nice. And as soon as it came out on day one, I watched the entire season again.
Do I need to remind you who got you into One Piece, by the way?
One Piece got me into One Piece. You just insisted that I read it.
You're welcome.
And I was very frustrated because when I watched it the second time, I wanted to hear with the Japanese voice cast. I didn't know how to figure it out, but I figured it out. And then I watched like the last two episodes with the, and it was like, bruh,
awesome.
So man. Good. Yeah. So good. But no, this is something that the only reason I haven't seen this season at least another 3 to 4 times is because I don't have the time.
Yeah.
Because everything, I just loved it. I think it's one of those projects where all the right decisions were made. Like, even if there's certain things that you could disagree with, certain things that weren't strong, you can tell that's the things that maybe fell at a flat for you. Like one of the conversations that I've had with Mike Thomas, our co-host, is that he never liked Arlong as a villain. He couldn't, and I kind of agree with him. He's kind of like a villain that falls a little flat. But the decisions that they made to favor the characters, whether or not some people might agree with it or not, to me, I preferred that. Because by the end of this season, I am in love with the journey of all five Straw Hats. And I cannot wait to voyage with them. Which is kind of what the goal of the series was, right? It's like, how do I get people on board to follow this crew of dreamers, right? And to wherever it is they're going to go, the Grand Line and beyond, right? So I feel that this season not only did that, but also did it in a very fan-centric way. Like, this season is a school on what real good fan service is. Like, mm-hmm. Fan service is not a cameo. Fan service is not a name drop. Fan service is recognizing how big this world is, respecting how big the world is, respecting that the audience that's watching the show is not stupid. Right. You know what I mean? Like, and all of these things are like,
thank you, Mike, by the way.
That's a lot of toilet paper.
Jesus.
Yes. I mean, it would look cool. You would just never be able to read it.
It'll look good on the walls. Like, what is that? That is the Holy Grail. We don't touch it. We just look at it. but yeah, it's like this show was great. It was phenomenal. It was breathtaking how good it was, how funny it was. And so in the beginning, you can feel a little like doubtful of certain things that they did. But as the show progresses, it kept winning me over. Mm-hmm. Because not only did the characters land, but also the big moments that you expect to land, like tears fell in multiple times. Oh. I have multiple favorite scenes. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like, it's like we were talking about the Continental and the Shatter After on a different yesterday. And one of the things that we talked about is that three episode series is great. But what feels the most John Wick is just the first 10 minutes and the last 45 minutes of the entire series. Like, wow. Everything else in the middle kind of falls a little flat, right? But this never stops feeling like One Piece. And that's what I loved about it the most. And to not keep beating an old dog, right? Like, we all agree, we all liked it, we all loved it. Let's go into the conversation a little bit deeper. And we got a couple of things we want to talk about. And who's the season one MVP? That's the first one. Who was the one character that you said, damn it, this is perfect. Every scene he was in, like, you know what I mean? Isaac, if there was a character for you that just stole the show in every single scene and he's the MVP of the season, who is that character? Or who's that actor?
That's almost an impossible task because I actually think everyone is downright perfect casted. But if I had to pick, can I pick more than one?
It's, see, I only allow it because that's what I'm doing. but I'm only allowing it. See, Mike just said his thing. I don't disagree with you. Mike said his Nami. That's for him. See, I'm going to allow it, Isaac. So, Isaac, I'm going to allow it because mine is not that I'm picking two. Is that these two characters are tied. Like, those are – they're tied in that position. So they have to be tied. They can't be like a 1, 2, and 3. You can make it up to say they're tied.
Okay. Garp, Luffy, and Buggy.
Okay.
Ooh. Nice.
With Sanji being a close second.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Nice. Very nice.
Sure. You can. It was a really funny contrast having a Scottish Garp with a.
Oh, that was American, great.
I loved it.
Yes. That was great.
Curious about the panthers.
Yes, and every time he got angry, it was like,
"Yeah,
Mike, they were all tied." I don't know. Maybe there's more MVP slots. In
the show is the MVP. We just it's hard to pick one.
Yeah, but those were my but. Okay. Marcus, yeah, he was. How should I put it? He had a split personality, or should I say, he?
He was crazy.
He was crazy. He's as crazy.
Well, he's
as
always
in
nuts,
show.
Though.
Yeah.
See, now that you mentioned,
he was just perfectly nerf. I mean, they have their more insane version in the manga and anime where he throws.
Well, I don't think he's nerfed, though, because you got. Well,
I will also not say that he was nerfed. It was just they weren't going all that insane in the live action. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm gonna say. That doesn't mean he's
that's what
power wives. Considering eliminated. But I digress. Just the whole when him starting to shout and you're starting then to laugh his ass off, yeah, because Luffy managed to reflect that cannibal, as I mentioned in the previous stream. That's just Garp in a nutshell. Yes. And the whole thing was to when Seth, what's it called? Cook's call again, isn't it? Seth. No, so, I'm. Yes.
Yeah, Captain's Chef Seth. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was
from
just
the, from the Giant Pirate Order.
I have a steak that I can give you in a good glass of wine and just, how about that steak? I'm just, this is Garp.
Yes.
This is Garp. And Luffy, well, how should I put it? Before this was released, we have an Inaki actually met Oda. And talk with him about role and all that, yes. And
yeah,
Oda downright said, "I chose you because you made me laugh, and you are really you're born to play Luffy." And I'm just, oh, as an actor, that's probably the highest compliment you can get. And his energy is pure Luffy, and. I will have to say, like Leo from Geek Me Good says, it's funny how Buggy the Clown gets a better Joker laugh than Jared Leto's Joker in Suicide Squad.
It's sad, but it is what it is.
Yep.
But yeah.
No, he does a great job with everything. Like Buggy was great. Buggy was great. Luffy was great. I gotta agree. That moment, that clip of Oda just putting the hat on Inaki's head is like, it's one of those little things that it's not a big deal, but it's the biggest deal in the world. You know what I mean? Especially for a fan, when you see this happening, you're like, okay, this is like real. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's involved. Like Mike says on the chat, Inaki's just Luffy in real life. Protect the boy at all costs.
Probably more so. Like, even in the show, it's weird if you watch it like on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just great.
They had an interview with the cast, and one of the questions was, who was the most in character of recordings? And everyone just pointed toward Inaki as the. Right on cue at the same time and just laughed at it and just even they agree.
Yep. The thing, like you say with Garp, right? Is the whole thing is Mr. Mystery here on the chat. What's up? So the whole thing with Garp though is like how do you guys feel about the inclusion of Garp early? Because if you remember, if I'm not mistaken, spoilers or for an idea, because nobody's gonna understand what it is if they're show only, is we don't really get that encounter between Garp and the Straw Hats till Enies Lobby, which
it's
is like
there are about 300-400 plus chapters. I can't recall.
It's far away. But I like the idea. What did you guys think of that change? At least you, for example, Joel, that you've known about it. So, and you, Jamie.
Oh, Jamie, Franco.
Me personally, I kept thinking, like, should I know who this is? Like, who's this 100%. Guy? Because, you know, 100%. I'm like not that far into One Piece as a series, but I've watched like over 100 episodes. So it's like, I feel like, you know, when it comes to the adaptation, I should know everybody that I'm looking at, but that was not the case. So I was like the surprise. Yeah, yeah. But I do like his inclusion from what it sounds like talking with you, Brandon, and Joelle. It seems like introducing him here a little bit earlier on kind of just continue to make some more of those connective threads, like what I was talking about earlier with the what was the power?
The hockey and all that.
Hockey. Yeah. I don't know why I thought Baki. Yes. The hockey, right. So I don't mind it. I like that he was a more present mentor for Kobe as well, or Colby as well.
Mike, stop trolling.
It's I know, it's like crazy. I have to preface it like I've seen 100 episodes, but in comparison to the series, it's like, oh, that's the beginning.
So Joel.
Yes.
I haven't told her.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you finish, Jamie?
Oh no, yeah, I was done.
Damn it, I go, Joel.
I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. What was the question again?
The Garp being early.
Oh, Garp.
As opposed to waiting for Enies Lobby.
I know a lot of people had issues with it. Like, because especially like fans. That was probably their biggest complaint. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Oda's biggest complaint if he had to pick. Why? It's like, I don't see why we had to do that, but I think in terms of like American style of writing and TV show writing, it worked as a B plot, you know, and it helped their storytelling so they can spend less time in certain places. Just like maybe to me, it was to save money, but whatever. The point is that that's what they did, and it didn't bother me at all. Like I know Garp from the show, obviously. It's not spoiler for me because I already knew going in who he was and all that. But it didn't bother me at all. It was funny watching him, like the whole time it was like him messing with him, basically to test him to see if he's where he's at. It's like, are you ready to do this? Because like, I know I'm never going to change your mind, but it's going to get much harder from here. You know, that's basically what he's trying to tell him. But I thought he looked perfect as Garp.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that ship was perfect. The Marines look great.
Like the jacket over the shoulders. Whole thing, bro.
They gave him the dog hat. You know, that was like,
yes.
I'm like,
I was a little goofy, but I
it was goofy. The whole show
is
goofy.
But it works, damn it.
But you gotta trust it. And they did. He didn't wear it the whole time. Not that he needs to. Look, he doesn't always wear it the whole time.
Right. It was when he was like in the zone, like, let me put on my puppy hat. Like, get ready to get kicked some ass.
Give me my puppy hat. That's going to be the new thing now. I was like, give me my puppy hat.
I'm going to do my hat. They not sell puppy hats. They need that.
Yeah, I would buy it.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed. See, and the reason
I trust you, Mike, on this one.
the reason I love this switch is because it emphasizes on a subplot that really takes a long time to build in the series. Mm-hmm. That I like that they're making it a point to do it now, because one of the biggest things in One Piece, right? It's the idea of the world government and how they operate, and how a lot of times the way they operate is completely against what the Straw Hats believe is right, but also what most of the world think it's right. There's a selfishness, there's a greed, there's a means of control of society, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost dictatorial in a way. Like the world government comes to be some type of big enemy. And I like the idea of Garp being in the beginning because it justifies the Kobe subplot. Mm-hmm. Because now we're seeing Kobe and Luffy develop more or less at the same time, which happens in the books. Mm-hmm. But yep. The Kobe thing,
mentor too.
Right. The Kobe thing is like hinted at. You spend some time here and there. And it's not till Kobe's fully developed that you actually spend a lot more time with Kobe. So I like the idea of that rivalry slash growth journey being there, because not only are we exploring Kobe's growth, but they're using it as an excuse to completely shed a light on how the world government operates. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not waiting to Enos Lobby to try and understand how the world government does the things that they do.
Right.
Like, we're already seeing seeds of corruption with the thing that we're seeing with the weird mouse captain that we see yes. in Harlem Park, right? Like, you see a little bit of the fact that if you see corruption at a captain's level, we're going to see more. Yes, I have to agree. Kobe, like, he's Mike says on the chat, Kobe was worthless in the first few episodes of the anime. This show uses them so much better. 100% agree. And but you can't have growth with Kobe because Kobe's growth in the books is directly linked to Garp. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that they made that wise choice of going, okay, if we want to use Kobe this way, we have to put Garp early. Mm-hmm. We got to put him in there because he's the only reason that Kobe gets to that height where he can maybe face with Luffy toe-to-toe or see with Luffy eye-to-eye how he sees eye-to-eye with Luffy Pierce. At the end of the season. Because, right.
Because right now, definitely not. Not
yeah. really. Yeah, because I do love and it leads to that great line. Where at the end, after Kobe delivers the wanted poster, he goes, Luffy goes, go be a good Marine. Mm-hmm. And he goes, go be a good pirate. Like the idea that they're both boosting themselves, supporting themselves.
Yeah.
I love how that's going to hopefully continue to be a thread that's going to go throughout the season. So I'm actually very excited for that. Now, Jamie, what was your MVP?
My MVP, I feel kind of basic saying this, but it's definitely Zoro. Although I do have to give an honorable mention to Sanji. I listed Sanji as most improved. I feel like the way that...
Most improved.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like not having watched the anime for a little bit, I kind of just revert back to basics of like, oh, Sanji, he really likes women. And he's kind of a little cringe about it. But then, like, you know, watching the show again and seeing, like, how he interacts with everybody, it's like he's a much deeper character than that. So, like, you know what? His perception in my mind has changed once again. So he's most improved. But Zoro, he's my MVP.
Zoro was amazing. Zoro was amazing. And this guy playing Zoro is just...
He is good.
And it's so funny that it's so funny that he has a history on joining on the live action manga adaptation.
Yeah,
he's in the Rurouni Kenshin one, in a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure one. He's in
Sensei.
The Full Metal Alchemist one, a Scar.
But damn!
Yeah.
Wow!
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, he's been around.
He's in that weird 80 live action anime adaptation that they did that releases this year that had Famke Jensen and I do believe Sean Bean. I can't recall.
Saint Seiya. That came out already.
Yeah, that one.
He's in the Saint Seiya movie?
He's the lead.
Yes, he's the lead.
Well, hot damn. This guy's been a. Okay, bet. Bet. Mm-hmm. Respect.
He's 100%
veteran. Respect.
Perfect for Zoro.
Yeah.
He's better on the ball.
That was probably his best role, let's be real.
It is 100% a real award.
It is.
Yes,
it is.
I agree. Most improved. So
I've known most improved before.
Sanji actor in Taz, I can't recall his last name.
Oh, no.
He shows real dedication on social media regarding his prep for this role. And one last thing regarding Garp. I'm a bit disappointed that they didn't say Fist of Love, but anyway.
They didn't what?
He called his punches to Luffy Fist of Love. He calls them that.
Yes. Well, you know.
Some things get cut.
I'm okay without that. I'm okay. He showed it. So, Joel, who was your MVP? Or your MIP, your most improved player?
I don't know if I have an MIP, but it was hard because I think they faithfully adapted a lot of different characters, in my opinion, really well, surprisingly well for some. But I think I have to give it to Luffy because, and not that others weren't as good, but they had to hit with Luffy. And Luffy is the most animated of the five of them. Aside from maybe Usopp. you had to hit with Luffy, the person, whoever was, he's going to carry the show. And if you don't nail Luffy, you might not have the show you have now. And then Iñaki.
Agreed. 100% agree.
He got it. The kid got it. He got the smile. He got the charisma. He stayed faithful to the character and all aspects of it, and he looks great. He does it. He looks like fucking Luffy. He does. I mean, he really does. Yeah. And man, the costume department did a great job.
Look at this. The costume department was beyond amazing. The whole thing of them doing. Them going through the actual manga covers,
I love
and
that.
Using them for, and using them for the inspiration for all the different, dress robe changes, costume changes, Yes, it all has their inspiration and actual literature and actual drawings and actual paintings by Oda, it's phenomenal, you know, and. I'm going to be honest. I loved Iñaki as Luffy. Everything feels Luffy. Everything feels Luffy. Everything he does. And it's a grounded Luffy, right? We can't say that it's the same as the book. Yeah. We can't say the same anime. It is the perfect Luffy for live action.
Yes.
Now, it's funny because I was thinking about this the other day. And 110%, Mike. Outfits, costumes, clothes, drip.
Oh, man. They were incredible.
They had it all.
It was great. The one thing I want, because I could understand why this didn't happen in the first season, because it's all about them coming together as a family crew unit, right? Mm-hmm. And you really don't get there till it's like you don't get there till Nami joins. You know what I mean? Because Nami kind of brings the whole crew together and actually allows them to really. Come together 100%. She's
an adult in the room.
Right. So I kind of want to see her slap the shit out of Luffy when he does something stupid. You know what I mean? Part of me wants that animeism into. like the idea that all of them will kick and punch him and he just has to come over all bludgeoned to death. I'm sorry. The fact that there's TikToks out there that Luffy is the only captain whose crew just beats the shit out of him whenever he does something stupid.
Yeah.
Of course, I may never get this. I'm not going to say it's a peeve of mine. I may never get it, but I would love to get some of that.
Yeah.
But it's but beyond that, you're right. He's perfect as Luffy. He's perfect. Yeah.
100%. Maybe they'll get there. We'll see. Over time, they can add. Hopefully. They can start playing around a little bit with certain things and see if they get away with it. And I'm down with that. I get what you're saying. Those are little anime. Those are anime things, though, in general. So
yeah. And you see in the manga, and in real life, you'll be like, these people hate this guy.
But it's no. The Naruto does it. You watch Naruto. They just don't. They're not as abusive, but they are. They can be.
They Luffy's bleeding by the end of.
He's got bruises everywhere.
Now, she's. Amen, Mike. Nami is mommy in more ways than one.
Mike is thirsty. Amen. Chat.
Now, Mike.
Wait, hold on.
I'm gonna give out my MVP because I have one. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to go. I was going to do a tie, but I'm going to retract. I'm just going to say the one. And I'm going to go with Sanji.
Nice.
Sanji was just like, it's funny because when I think about the show, I don't want to go back to the beginning. I want to go back to watch the episodes that Sanji's in. You know what I mean? Like, I want to go, like, I want to watch it episode 5 onward. Mm-hmm. Not because they're all together, but Sanji is just, I love how they were able to conserve the way he simps over every single beautiful woman that he sees, but without making it creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's not creepy. It's still kind of cringe, but thankfully not creepy. I'm like, that's acceptable.
Right. Because it's never, because the goal, yeah, because the whole thing about Sanji that I've always loved is that can he hint at being a little perverted sometimes? Yes. But it's never necessarily that. You know what I mean? He's always like, he's an admirer of beauty. You know what I mean? And he does it with all women, not just, yeah. You know what I mean?
It's not that's the impressive part.
You know? But, you know, I'm pretty confident if one says yes, he won't say it to everybody else. But, you know, that's a Hulk spoiler. I'm going to shut up. But, no, I love Sanji. I love his groove. I love the rumblings of him hating on Zoro and disagreeing. Yeah. A lot of people complained that there wasn't enough banter between them, but I like that we saw the seeds of that. Yeah. We saw little bits of that. Like, you get that little bit, like, really whenever they're getting ready to go to Arlen Park, they're kind of debating about Nami, and it goes, and Sanji tries to defend Nami. When they're fighting, they're like making fun of each other.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you look tired. Head. You might want to rest. Like, yeah, like talking bullshit or whatever. You know, like that's what's pretty cool. What's up, Demetrius?
Dude.
Now the biggest thing is that I loved about it also is the fact that I got Sanji to say "Golie, Mudon shot," like with an accent and everything. He also had the correct until that moment. It's funny you say that because he reacts that way until the very moment that he actually calls out his techniques to take down Kurobi. To me, that was great. It was perfect. And then he goes, yeah, great fighters call out their finishing moves. And Sora just has to say, you're going to fit in just fine.
Yeah.
I get what you're hearing. You know, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, basically.
That's why. Right. And, of course, he cooks amazing. I also kind of like the idea about – I want it to develop to a point where Sanji constantly – talks about poisoning Zoro's food. You know what I mean? And I'm pretty confident he does it, and Zoro just builds tolerance because he's Zoro. Like, it's amazing. But no, Sanji to me was great. Like, all the characters are great. I love Luffy. I have mentioned what I wanted before. I want to say Zoro, but everybody's talking about Zoro, so I figure I give shout to Sanji. Sanji was Taz as Sanji is phenomenal. And like any, like all the characters, I never missed anything from any of the characters. Does that make sense? No. I didn't miss like a quality. I didn't miss a mannerism. It was all there. And I like the idea my favorite thing about Taz and Sanji is he's talking normal to everybody. And as soon as he notices a beautiful woman, I love how you can see that something just flips. Like there's a flipping of a switch in the way, like he turns his face a little bit and starts smiling. You know what I mean? Yeah, like it happens when he starts talking to Nami. Right. It happens when he starts talking to Nami's sister.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I like that. I want that to continue to go. I'm going to say proud. Straw Hat now.
I'm also happy, dude.
Beautiful.
Wow, beautiful. Man.
Hey, man, trust me. You will not regret anything. It's in the public record now, bro. Don't worry. It's a great race. It's a great race. It's worth the run. Wait, the voyage. What's up? So, those were our MVPs. Now, I think we kind of talked about, I don't think we have a gripe, so I'm not even going to waste time with that. And I don't think any of the characters disappointed us. So, it could be a fight scene. But what was your favorite scene of the season or favorite moment? This one, man. You don't need to pick just one. If you want to say two real quick, say two real quick. But what was your favorite moment of season one?
That's a tough question, sir.
I'm going to go first.
Go ahead.
It's two. And it's definitely Luffy helped me.
Yep. That's my one.
You know, like, yep. Like I love this because this is the one scene that Mike and I kind of like didn't argue, but like talked about it because it didn't land for him as it landed for me. Mm-hmm. Because it was serious, it was emotional, and it was kind of goofy at the same time because it did pay homage to the book 100% exact, mm-hmm. with the exception that it was at nighttime. But they pay homage to the book and they pay homage to the anime. They do it almost to the T, which to me was – I was expecting them to do it. I was missing the fact that they didn't use the overtaken music, which, by the way,
oh my God.
We talked about the music department. We talked about the music department.
Yeah.
The music, the soundtrack for the show has kind of won me over. I've grown to enjoy it. And Luffy's Mike says, Luffy screaming, cut the drama tension. I'm sorry. See, that's fine.
It always does,
it's okay to disagree, Mike. It's okay to disagree, Mike. yeah, it exactly. And it's funny because any other character wouldn't do that.
No.
But Luffy would.
That's specifically a Luffy thing.
Yes. Mm. But the idea that he said, let's go, and all of and you got Zoro, Luffy, and Usopp just going, bet.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know?
I love that so much.
Yeah. That was great. That was so great. Now, I think my favorite after that one. I don't want to number it, is when Zoro pledges his allegiance to Luffy.
That
scene right there, bro. Like because again, it's not just what happened with Mihawk, right? Mm-hmm. We got to go back to episode one. Baroque Works tries to recruit Zoro, he says no. The Marines try to recruit Zoro, and Zoro says no. Luffy lets Zoro go, like releases him from captivity, and Zoro says, you know, I'm not gonna join you, right? And he goes, okay, just go do your sword thing, it's totally fine. Mm-hmm. Like the idea that he can see that this kid, because we know that Zoro is older than Luffy, it's a thing, right? Mm-hmm. But that this kid respects Zoro as a warrior but also as a dreamer, and is willing to support his dream. And if Luffy join, and I love the idea that if Zoro joins Luffy's crew, Zoro is not a tool in mm-hmm. Luffy's arsenal, like any other captain would see it, right? No, he's a fellow dreamer, and he knows that Luffy will support his dream. And the moment of truth was the whole fight with Mihawk. That even though Luffy was scared that he was gonna lose, that, you know, Nami over here, Mommy Nami talking logic over here, that, hey, that's not going to go right. You may want to stop Zoro. But he couldn't get in the way of his dream. You know what I mean? The fact that Zoro could see that and that emotional payoff there where he goes, you are my captain and I'm going to follow you to the end. And the fist on the, you know, like literally Sasayo, right? Like Attack on Titan. Like, yeah, that moment there is like, yo, like that just landed. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those moments that they had so much buildup.
Yeah.
And the way it landed, it was just.
See, if you think about it, Luffy's secretly genius because of what he implemented was reverse psychology. He's like, oh, okay, I didn't want you anyway. That's fine. And he's like, wait, hold on a minute. You need me.
But you know what's the best thing about it? Luffy doesn't know what reverse psychology is.
Yeah, true. He's like, okay, sure. Just let him live.
Yeah, but those were the two moments for me.
What'd you got, good picks.
One of them was Help Me. That scene was hard for me. I really loved that scene. And because I love the scene in the end, and I felt like the show wouldn't have worked if you didn't hit that. You know, if you hit that.
Yeah.
Out the right way,
like that was a decisive moment for the show. Like that
you needed had to land hit. It right.
Yeah,
it had to hit. And if it didn't hit, it probably wouldn't have landed as well. And they pulled it off. Everybody was in position. The shot.
Yeah,
I loved it. They even had Sanji smoking, even though it was like twice the whole fucking show. But, you know, you get over that little thing like that. I'll take
it. Hey, but he smoked, though.
But he smoked.
That's the one thing I was okay with. He did it.
I was. They did it. They did it twice. And I mean,
they paid the fines and let him smoke on television.
Yeah, they got it. He's, well, he's a chain smoker in the damn anime and manga. But, yeah, he, little things like that. You had to pull that off. I think they did it very well. That was my one of my favorite spots. But I know there's one moment. There's a lot of moments, but just so we know, not here all day. The moment that really hit me is when they first get the Mary, the going Mary, and you hear the music playing in the background. I'm like, that's it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah, all yeah, I needed.
We Are. Like, yeah, yes. They play We Are.
Yep.
Mike, stop trolling. We all understood your opinion. We agreed to disagree.
You can say that about the whole show. That's not really the point.
But yeah, bro. Yeah, that was like the one little piece of music they actually grabbed.
Yes, yes.
And I'm going to be honest. Out of all the repertoire of openings and music, if you're going to grab something,
that's
what you're going to grab.
Yeah.
That's the one. So
I wish there was more hints at the original score.
Yeah.
I do love the One Piece score because there's a lot of great hits.
Yeah.
Mike trying to start fights here. Mike just trying to start fights. Okay. Okay. Bet, Mike. Bet. Isaac, favorite moment or scene of season one?
Well, I know I mentioned that one before, but one of them is the Garp throwing cannonball at Luffy because it's just so funny. And the other one that hasn't...
I am so excited that got in, though, because that's legendary, bro.
Yeah,
the Garp throwing cannonball is freaking legendary.
Yeah, and honestly, it probably is the introduction of Buggy.
Buggy.
Which is just...
At the end of episode one?
Yeah.
No, scratch that. Buggy is a favorite, but it's not the favorite. It's the introduction of Mihawk.
Mm.
Oh. Which is just...
He was pretty hot.
Speaking of looking like it's directly from
Buggy. I don't know, but she's speaking facts here, bruh.
That's nice. Yeah. You know, I agree, Isaac.
Speaking of looking like they are straight from the manga, Mihawk is prime example of that. And,
very much so.
Dracula Mihawk.
Mm-hmm.
And the 100%
Dracula.
And the fact that I don't know if you guys knew that, but supposedly, there is a YouTuber, I can't recall the name, but he had a chance to interview the showrunner, and showrunner said that one of the most expensive shots for this season was when Mihawk sliced that boat in half.
I could see that.
Oh, wow. I could see that.
Yeah,
for sure. Yes. And just the whole thing with him, you can see him slaughtering Don Krieg's fleet on his own with just that ridiculously sized sword. And honestly, I know that I spoke about this in the previous stream, but I'm glad that Krieg was just a cameo. His fight in the manga just feels like a filler for me.
No. Honestly. And that's one of the many, I agree, that's one of the many wise decisions that the showrunners made, is that, okay, we need, how do we move things along? Let's eliminate Don Krieg. Let's introduce Arlong at the Barity. But they go out of their way to introduce Mihawk earlier just to get that cameo for Don Krieg in. And for anybody saying, but Brandon, you said that fan service is not just a name drop. Well, before you say that, damn it, if you know the books, you know that when Mihawk shows up at the Barity, it's right after destroying Don Krieg's fleet. Like, that's actually what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's similar to the Baroque Works number 7 presentation. Like, it's unseen history that's, we know it's there. Mm-hmm. So it pays off very, very well. But Mike says on the chat, young Luffy stabbing his face was my... I am actually very surprised they pulled it off.
That they showed that.
Yeah,
that they showed it.
that made me cringe. Like, that was, like, oh my god, kind of weird.
But that's one of those moments that when you see it happen, it's like, okay, if they're doing this, okay, then
yeah,
yes, we're gonna go everywhere else.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's awesome. Jamie.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I was like, oh my god, like that was oof, that's painful. But yeah, my favorite moment, Joelle kind of stole it. It was the
damn it, Joelle.
Now he's saying, like, help me, you know, that moment. But I also, you know, oddly enough, my MIP gets my other moment, which is Sanji's backstory and the chef eating Seth. Seth.
That's a great change.
Because I was about to be like, I don't remember this happening.
No, that did not happen. But that's the thing. It's not a change.
It is a change.
Because in the anime, that's what happens.
No, that's not how he lost his life.
No, though. In the manga, I'm sorry. In the manga, that's what happens. In the anime, they changed it to show that he cut his leg or whatever. So in the anime, they changed it that he cut his leg trying to save Sanji in the water. Right. Right, that's what they did in the anime, but in the book, that's what he does. He eats his leg.
That was crazy.
And that's funny because, yeah, in regards to the music, Mike, I think, interviewed for Collider, one of the sound supervisors or whatever, and one of the things that they talked about is that this show is based on the manga. It's not based on the anime, which is part of the reason why they didn't use anime music.
I get that.
Which makes sense, but at the same time is like, yeah, call it what you want.
Yeah.
But in a way it makes sense to me that they still use We Are, because We Are at this point has transcended the anime kind of. It's like the One Piece theme for whoever knows anything about One Piece, right? Mm-hmm. So that is a fair statement. But yeah, these are
I
love the fact that none of us mentioned a fight. We all just talked about actual moments. Because, again, that's what makes the show great, right? Like, One Piece is not just about the epic battles, which there's plenty of.
So many.
But it's because it's the relationship that the characters build with each other and with other people that they meet throughout their journeys. And I think, guys, that this was a phenomenal season one. What a great foot forward. And
not for Seth.
I'm not even.
Well, then. I said not for some.
Damn. Best broom forward. Now I don't want to say that I expect bigger and better things. I don't want to say that because I think that this was so good. I want them to be bigger and better. Yes, because again, the story gets bigger and better. But to me, my biggest hope for season two, just throwing this out there, is that they maintain this level of detail and quality. Absolutely. That is my biggest
number one
hope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as long as the care doesn't go away, I can forgive certain things that the budget causes them to hold back on or whatever. Yeah. I can forgive those things. You know what I mean? But beyond that, I don't know. It's just amazing.
See, I think it could get better, though, Brandon. I think it could get better.
I don't disagree. I expect it to. I just don't want it to get worse.
Right.
I agree.
I want quality control to stay there, you know what I mean? And then just make it better.
Ask me why it could get better, though.
Let's go.
Why can it get better, Jamie? Why?
We haven't introduced the best character in the show. Tony Chopper.
You know what?
Segway.
How about we seal this deal here? Guys, we've done the thing. We've given our final take. We all love One Piece. We talked about our favorite moments. We talked about our MVPs and MIPs. And we don't have really big gripes. We just love this show. And we can't wait for it to come back. And it is officially renewed for season two on Netflix. So, you guys, this is awesome. We don't know when we're going to get it, but we're going to get another season of live action One Piece. And I cannot wait. We have talked about our thoughts here of One Piece Season 1. If you love what we do here at the Amateur Otaku Podcast, make sure you click on that like button. You subscribe to our YouTube channel and share with your friends. Let us know your thoughts on One Piece Season 1 in the comments below. And make sure you come back for more awesome anime content weekly to the Amateur Otaku Podcast. Have it awesome, stay awesome, and keep watching anime.